In July 1944, the Ringling Brothers and Barnum & Bailey Circus stopped in Hartford, Connecticut. On July 6th, the Big Top caught fire during a performance, and it quickly became engulfed. More than 150 people perished in the tragedy. That fire serves as the common ground for the characters in Michael Down's collection of short stories in The Greatest Show, Stories, published by LSU Press. Michael earned his MFA at the University of Arkansas and now teaches at Towson University in Baltimore. He returns to Fayetteville Monday night to read from The Greatest Show at 7 at Nightbird Books. Michael was born in Hartford and grew up in a suburb just across the river from the city. This week, I asked him if he heard much about the tragic circus fire when he was growing up.
I don't have distinct memories of that, but when I went back as an adult and worked in Hartford as a reporter, the circus fire came into the news. And it wasn't anything, it itself was not anything new to me. So, yes, I had heard stories, I'm sure. I'd heard it mentioned. I know, like, for example, my grandmother had a neighbor who used to talk about working that day as a switchboard operator and trying to handle all the phone calls that were flying around Hartford, people trying to find loved ones, the emergency personnel having to patch folks through, interrupt other phone calls because the lines were all jammed. So I'm sure I heard it made mention of several times as a kid.
What's interesting, all of these stories that are in The Greatest Show obviously have a connection, and characters have a connection to the fire. We do see the fire for a few paragraphs in the first story, but after that, it's more memory or physical scar for people. For stories that are so inspired by the fire, you opted not to write much about the actual event.
And it was a scary decision in some ways because, in a sense, what you would think is the most exciting moment in a book involving a circus fire is in the first story. And I worried about that in terms of the construction of the book. You know, what would keep people reading if I gave them the fire in the opening story? But I think I needed to write it that way because after a long career as a newspaper journalist, I had found myself less interested in the particulars of big events themselves and more interested in the lives on the periphery of those big events. As a newspaper reporter, I was always focused on the big event and the people who were directly involved in it. But I would often look around and see that there were these other little stories of people who were tangentially involved and yet who were changed. In the newspaper, we could never run those stories, seldom run those stories. They just didn't matter as much when you had a limited amount of space. And then the next big event was coming along anyway. So I wanted to explore more of those lives in The Greatest Show than the moment itself and what led up to it or what have you.
Two of the people we meet in the first story, we meet again over the course of the stories in the book and over the course of decades. Did you always know that you wanted to do interconnected stories where there were people in it who, in a couple of stories, well, his sister, my aunt, died in the fire, or, you know, it's almost a novel as much as a collection of short stories.
I did kind of, the book is, in its construction, is probably half accidental and half intentional. Certainly when I started writing stories, for some reason I had in my head that I wanted to do linked stories. And a wise man at Arkansas, Bill Harrison, said, "Don't think about that. The first thing you have to do is write a good story." And he was right. I was writing terrible stories. So I was concentrating on writing good stories. And maybe one of the first real good stories I wrote was that initial circus fire story. And when I finished that story and was fortunate enough to have it published and sent a copy to my mother and she read it, well, there's a little boy whose life is still hanging in the balance at the end of that story. And my mother said to me, "Teddy lives. doesn't he?
Hmm.
And I said, well, I don't know. And she said, no, no, no. Teddy lives, doesn't he? And so I understood then that I had to write more stories with Teddy.
There's a story late in the book when Ted is older and wants perhaps to go back to a circus. He's talking to a circus performer, and that circus performer says, oh, we know about Hartford, and we always try to do a better show when we're in Hartford. Is that a case of fact?
That's a good question. I don't know that it's a case of fact. I do know that circus performers know Hartford. They know it better than the general populace does. I know this because I visited with circus performers in Montana, and I mentioned I was working on a book about Hartford and the circus, and they all, yeah, sure, we know that. So I knew that people in the circus world know and remember Hartford better than most of us do. I guess I just sort of thought if I were a circus performer, I would want to give it a little bit more of a push in Hartford.
The fire is the event that connects everyone. But to me, the starring role in the book, The Greatest Show, is Hartford and the neighborhoods of Hartford, because that's what people really have in common in these stories.
Thank you. That's an interesting insight. And I know that for me, the neighborhoods of Hartford and the city and the people there are a starring role in my head and in my heart when I write. They have that place. The fire happened, but the neighborhoods, they go on, and the people there, they go on. And I think that's in large part what I was trying to write. I don't live in Hartford anymore. I miss it, and I go back there as often as I can in my writing. And I don't go back to the circus fire. I go back to the neighborhoods.
There is one story called Elephant in which a father who was not in the fire, he was in the service at the time in World War II, but he's talking to his son who was in the fire, and he brags about doing something that most of us would think is reprehensible. And we don't know whether he actually did it. What was the genesis for that story, Elephant?
It was in part the first line. Sometimes I write stories off an idea, a moral conundrum, sometimes off a character. In that case, I had this first line in my head. And when I was 13, my father told me he shot a circus elephant through the eye, he said. And I just kind of went with it from there. The way the story shapes after that and becomes, I think, a story about not being there for people when they're in their dire moments, when you love those people and you can't be with them or you decide not to be with them in their dire moments, came in part from an essay I read from another writer who was exploring that same idea and was troubled that he had missed his own father's death. And I think I wanted to explore that a little bit, too.
Some of the stories, in 15 or 20 pages, you'll take us across quite a span of time, months or years. How do you do that in a small amount of time without making it feel too compressed, without making it feel like a legitimate experience for the reader?
Boy, that's a good question, too.
And do you know when you're doing it, when you're getting it right?
I know when if I know when I'm getting it right, it's in part because I have good, smart readers who read after me and critique for me and help me understand when I've succeeded or failed. But I know that what I'm trying to do in those moments is to deliver a sweeping statement of time, you know, years later something. But in that sentence, there also needs to be one or two very specific physical details. If I'm sweeping across years, I can't sweep across physicality of moments. There has to be one or two physical moments in those sentences that give the reader a sense that the time mattered and was not flown through. The characters did not fly through time, even if I'm flying through time.
Sometimes when I pick up a book of short stories, I'll flip through. I won't read them chronologically from beginning to end. This book should be, I think, I wonder if you agree, should be read from beginning to end.
I do, and I hope people would read it from beginning to end. I do think the stories can stand alone. I published every one of them separately in literary journals, and it was important to me that they stand alone. But in terms of the book, I've constructed them and organized them so that I think they build toward a kind of crescendo. And I don't know if I could say toward a meaning, but certainly toward what I hope is an emotional resonance that's not too much unlike a novel, but I think is different than a novel.
The first line of the book mentions someone's story beginning in 1936. By the end of the book, we're into the 21st century. So obviously, time passes. But there seems to be a lot regarding age in this book. People who are not quite as mobile, virile, whose memories are going. Was that a conscious decision to have us discover some people as the process of age is taking its toll?
It is. It is. And it's also in part because one of the things age takes a toll on is memory. And I don't mean even individual memory, but communal memory. One of the things that most interested me in writing this book, something I wanted to explore, is the way in which an event like the Circus Fire, like Hurricane Katrina, like 9/11, like the Japanese tsunami and earthquake, hits us and seems like it will never go away. And then, and earnestly, we want it not to go away. Sincerely, we want to remember it forever, and we think it left such a mark it will. And yet, over generations, even over the course of a single lifetime, the memory of that event fades. The precision of our memory of it goes away. And I wanted to figure out or think about the ways in which memory is kind that way and the ways in which memory is cruel that way.
The name of the book is The Greatest Show Stories. Michael, you'll be at Nightbird Books Monday night at 7 o'clock.
God willing, I will. I'm looking forward to it.
All right. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Kyle.
Michael Downs' new collection of short stories is titled The Greatest Show Stories. He teaches at Towson University in Baltimore and earned his MFA while studying at the University of Arkansas. He'll return to Fayetteville to read from his new book at Nightbird Books on Dixon Street in Fayetteville Monday night at 7. You can hear more from our conversation, including what he plans to read Monday night, in an audio extra at OzarksAtLarge.com.